Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Seductive Deceit, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Game Begins. I never intended to be a liar, a thief, or a manipulator. I never sat down one day and thought, you know what? Let's ruin some lives today. No, that's not how this started. But when life dangles opportunities in front of you, you either grab them with both hands or sit back like a fool, watching someone else take what should have been yours. And I don't do regrets. I don't do missed chances. I take what I want, when I want it, and I never apologize for it. That's why when I spotted Damien Cross, perched at the corner of that dimly lit, exclusive bar, nursing a glass of 100-year-old whiskey like it was the only thing keeping him sane, I knew. This man was about to make the biggest mistake of his life. The place was one of those members-only lounges, the kind where the seats were leather. The lighting was just dark enough to make bad decisions feel like good ones, and the air smelled like rich men's secrets. I had been here before, though never as a paying member. Memberships in places like this were for men like Damien, men who had power, wealth, and most importantly, weaknesses. I walked in like I belonged there, like I owned the damn place, my black silk dress hugging every curve, the slit just high enough to leave exactly the right amount to the imagination. Every step I took was deliberate, slow, controlled. Every sway of my hips, every tilt of my head, it was a silent invitation, a language most men were too stupid to ignore. And Damien? Oh, he was fluent. He saw me the moment I stepped in. That flicker in his eyes, that subtle shift in his posture. It was the telltale sign of a man who was used to being in control, but suddenly found himself on unfamiliar ground. Good. I slid onto the barstool beside him, close enough that he could catch the scent of my perfume. Deep vanilla with just a hint of musk, an intoxicating mix that left men leaning in without realizing they were being pulled. He glanced at me, and I held his gaze, letting a slow, knowing smile tug at my lips. Alone? I asked, letting my voice drop just a little, soft enough to make him lean in to hear me better. He smirked. For now, that was all I needed. That hesitation, that slight pause before answering. A man confident in his faithfulness would have waved me off, barely sparing me a glance. But Damien? Damien was already halfway gone, whether he knew it or not. I let the silence linger, just long enough to make him restless. Men like him weren't used to being ignored. They were used to commanding attention, to being the ones who decided when and how a conversation unfolded. So when I turned slightly, giving him a view of the curve of my neck, my fingers idly tracing the rim of my glass, I felt it, the moment he made his choice. "You come here often?" he asked, his voice deep, laced with something between curiosity and desire. I tilted my head, letting my lips part slightly before answering. "Sometimes, but I prefer places with better company." The shift was instant. He turned fully toward me, his elbow resting on the bar, his gaze drifting from my lips to my throat, back up to my eyes. He was already unraveling, and I hadn't even touched him yet. And then, just to seal it, just to push him over the edge, I leaned in slightly, my fingertips grazing the stem of his glass. "You seem tense," I murmured. "Rough day." He exhaled through his nose, half a chuckle, half something darker. "Something like that." "Lucky for you," I said, lifting my drink to my lips, watching him over the rim. "I'm an excellent distraction." He laughed, low and rich. "Is that so?" I set my glass down, tilting my head. "Why don't you find out?" It was a challenge. An open dare. And men like Damien? They never turn down a challenge. He leaned in, the heat of his body so close I could feel it against my skin. "You play dangerous games." I let my lips curl into a smirk. "Only when I know I'll win." The ice in his glass clinked as he swirled his drink, his smirk matching mine. "Let's see how good you really are, then." And just like that, the game began. I knew what this was. I knew how it would go. Damien wasn't stupid. At least, not in the way that mattered. He was smart enough to sense danger, to recognize the red flags. But that's the thing about men like him. They like the red flags. They crave the thrill of risk, the rush of something forbidden. And I was the danger. But he wouldn't realize it until it was too late. Chapter 2, The Seduction of Power. I never believed in love. Not in the fairy tale kind, not in the soul-crushing, all-consuming passion people wrote about in poetry and songs. What I believed in was power. The kind that made men crumble. That made them desperate. Love was a weak man's illusion. A lie they fed themselves to justify the foolish decisions they made. But power? That was real. That was everything. And Damien Cross? He had power. The kind that made people sit up and listen when he spoke. The kind that made other men afraid. But that night, in that penthouse, naked beneath silk sheets with his scent still clinging to my skin, he had no power over me. He only thought he did. The city stretched out beyond the massive floor-to-ceiling windows, a dazzling ocean of lights twinkling against the night sky. I lay there in the dark, watching his reflection in the glass as he sat on the edge of the bed, running a hand through his hair, his back tense, his breathing slow and measured. "You're thinking too much," I murmured, stretching like a cat beneath the covers, letting the silk slip down just enough to make him look. His gaze flickered to mine in the glass before he turned slightly, his eyes dark, unreadable. "I don't usually do this." I smiled, tracing my fingers lazily across the sheets. "No," he exhaled, rubbing his jaw. "No." I let the silence stretch between us, waiting. Men always talk when you give them enough silence to fill. And sure enough, my wife and I were complicated. I bit my lip to keep from laughing. Complicated. They always say that. Like it's some noble excuse for their infidelity. Like it's some deep, tragic reason that justifies their sins. Complicated how? I asked, shifting onto my side, my body half covered, just enough to be suggestive without trying. His fingers tightened around his glass of whiskey. "She's cold. Controlling. Always watching." I hummed, tracing patterns onto the sheets with my nails. "That must be exhausting." He huffed out a bitter laugh. "You have no idea." I did. I had every idea. Because this was the script. Different men, different names, same damn story. But I played along, letting my voice dip just enough, adding that perfect touch of understanding. The kind that makes a man believe he's finally found someone who gets him. "You deserve to feel something real," I whispered, sliding closer. His breath hitched. His fingers twitched. And just like that, the weight of all his years of restraint cracked like glass. He turned to me, and the moment his lips crashed against mine, I knew. I had him. Completely. The rush of control. Damien was a force. He devoured me like a man starving, hands greedy, touch possessive. I let him. I let him think he was consuming me, let him believe he was the one losing control. But every time he pulled me closer, it was really me pulling him deeper into my web. Every gasp, every moan, I gave it to him, perfectly timed, perfectly measured. By the time we collapsed back onto the bed, tangled in sweat and sheets, his body spent but his mind unraveling, I knew it was time. This was the moment. His defenses were down. His walls, the ones he had spent years building to keep himself untouchable, were crumbled at my feet. I turned my head against the pillow, letting my lips brush against his ear, soft, barely there. "Tell me a secret." He exhaled slow. "What?" "A secret," I repeated, tracing a lazy pattern over his chest. "Something no one else knows." He tensed just slightly. And then, almost as if the thought alone exhausted him, he chuckled, his fingers brushing my hip. "You don't stop, do you?" I smiled. "Not when I want something. A beat. Then. I have money," he murmured, his voice low, hushed. "Money that, technically shouldn't exist." I kept my face neutral, but inside, my pulse thrummed. "Offshore accounts?" I guessed, keeping my tone playful, like this was just pillow talk. He smirked, closing his eyes. "Something like that." I nuzzled closer, running my nails lightly down his chest. "MMM. And your wife? Does she know?" His body stiffened just slightly. Barely noticeable. But I felt it. And that was everything. Breaking him down piece by piece. Men don't just hand over their secrets. They need to be broken open, slowly, delicately. You don't push. You seduce the truth out of them piece by piece, word by word, making them think they want to tell you. I played my part well. Over the next 2 hours, wrapped in expensive sheets, whispering in the dark, Damien fed me everything I needed. How his wife controlled their finances. How she hired private investigators every time he so much as looked at another woman. How she had her own offshore accounts, but his. Oh no, his weren't for security. His were for escape. Escape from what? I asked, fingers ghosting over his jaw. His silence was my answer. I kissed his shoulder, pressing my lips to the tension there. You deserve to have something that's yours. He let out a breath. Yeah, I smiled against his skin. And you will. Because when I was done, every single thing he owned would be mine. Chapter 3. A Dangerous Liaison, Expanded Version. Power is a dangerous thing. It makes people reckless, makes them think they're invincible. It makes them underestimate the people who know how to use it against them. And Damien? He was no exception. After that first night, he couldn't get enough. I had become his addiction, his escape from the cold, calculating world he had built around himself. He called at all hours, texted between meetings, sent gifts he knew his wife would never notice. A diamond bracelet slipped into my purse, an envelope of cash tucked into my lingerie drawer. Each one was a bribe, a desperate attempt to buy my presence, to keep me wanting him just as badly as he wanted me. As if I could ever be bought. I let him believe he was in control, let him think that I was just another conquest, another beautiful woman who had fallen under his spell. But the truth? The moment he let me in, the moment he let his guard down, he belonged to me. And soon, his money, his secrets, his entire fucking empire would belong to me too. The wife always knows. But power doesn't just attract weak men. It attracts stronger enemies. And in Damien's case, his wife was no fool. I should have known Victoria Cross wasn't like the others. She was too poised, too controlled. A woman who didn't ask questions she didn't already know the answers to. The moment I saw her standing in the parking garage waiting for me, dressed in heels sharp enough to slice through bone, I knew she had been watching me. Her presence wasn't accidental. This wasn't the chance meeting of a scorned wife stumbling upon her husband's mistress. This was a warning. I stopped a few feet away, my heartbeat steady, my mask carefully in place. Mrs. Cross, I greeted smoothly, tilting my head. To what do I owe this pleasure? Victoria smiled. Sharp. Calculated. You're beautiful. I smirked. I know. She exhaled softly, her arms folding across her chest. And dangerous. I took a step forward, letting my heels click against the polished concrete. Then you should be careful. Her smile widened. Oh, sweetheart. I'm not the one in danger. She reached into her purse and pulled out a sleek black folder. My stomach tightened, but I didn't let it show. Men are simple creatures, she mused, flipping it open. They think with their dicks. They assume that just because a woman is soft and warm in their bed, she must be weak. She turned the folder toward me, revealing a collection of photographs. Me and Damien. Hotel lobbies. Restaurants. His fucking penthouse. You think you're the first? Victoria asked, watching me. The first to slip between my husband's sheets, whisper in his ear, make him feel like he's escaping something? She chuckled darkly. You're not special. You're just predictable. I let out a soft laugh, shaking my head. If I'm so predictable, then why are you standing here wasting your time? Her expression hardened. Because unlike the others, you're a problem. She took a step closer, closing the folder with a quiet snap. You're not some desperate, wide-eyed girl looking for a sugar daddy, she murmured. You're calculating. You're smart. You're playing a game you think you can win. She tilted her head. That makes you dangerous. I kept my expression neutral, but my pulse quickened. She saw me. She saw exactly who I was. But the difference between us? I wasn't afraid. I leaned in slightly, lowering my voice. And yet you haven't warned him. She didn't flinch. Why is that? I pressed, my lips curving into a slow, knowing smile. Are you afraid of what he might do if he found out you were watching him? For the first time, something flickered in her eyes. A shadow. A crack. Bingo. I had underestimated her, but she had underestimated me too. The first mistake. The next time I saw Damien, he was different. Tense. Restless. Like a man being hunted, but not knowing where the hunter was hiding. He paced the penthouse, his tie loosened, his shirt unbuttoned at the collar. His usual arrogance had been replaced by something heavier, doubt. She's up to something, he muttered, running a hand through his hair. Victoria. I sat on the edge of the bed, watching him carefully. What makes you think that? He scoffed, downing a shot of whiskey. I know my wife. She never makes a move unless it benefits her. He exhaled sharply. She's watching me. I tilted my head, pretending to hesitate. Maybe you should be careful, then. He turned to me, frowning. What do you mean? I stood slowly, crossing the room, sliding my arms around his neck. Maybe she's waiting for you to slip. He swallowed hard, his hands gripping my waist. I wouldn't let that happen. I smiled, pressing my lips against his ear. Then don't. I felt the tension in his body, the way his fingers tightened on my hips. He was starting to second-guess everything. And once doubt seeps into a man's mind, it's only a matter of time before he falls apart. A bigger game. That night, when Damien finally drifted off to sleep beside me, I slid out of bed and padded silently across the room. His phone sat on the nightstand. Locked. But not impossible. I picked it up, my fingers hovering over the screen. 6-digit passcode. Damien was smart. But smart men make emotional mistakes. I exhaled softly, then typed in the only 6 digits that had been burned into his mind since the day he became a man of power. His wedding anniversary. The screen unlocked. I smirked. Men really are predictable. I scrolled through his messages, my eyes scanning the strings of financial transactions, the offshore accounts, the encrypted conversations. This wasn't just money. This was laundered money. This was illegal deals with men far more dangerous than Damien himself. I inhaled deeply, letting the weight of my discovery settle over me. I could ruin him. I could take everything. But first, I needed to make sure Victoria wouldn't beat me to it. Because if Damien was keeping secrets, then his wife was keeping bigger ones. And that made this game even more fun. Chapter 4, Betrayal Runs Deep. Power makes people bold. It makes them think they can play every angle, control every outcome. But real power? The kind that keeps you untouchable? It doesn't come from money or status. It comes from knowing when to strike. I had been careful. Every move, every calculated step I took, had led me closer to complete control. Damien was mine, his secrets, his bank accounts, his trust, all laid bare before me like an open book. His arrogance had made him easy to manipulate, and his loneliness had made him blind to the fact that I was never just another woman in his bed. I was his undoing. But there was one thing I hadn't accounted for. Victoria, that cold, unshakable woman, had been watching. Waiting. Calculating, just as much as I had been. And now, she was ready to make her move. A warning I should have heeded. I was in bed when my phone buzzed, just past midnight, Damien asleep beside me, his breathing slow and deep. I reached for the device on the nightstand, blinking at the screen. Blocked number. A message. Leave while you can. You have no idea who you're playing with. I stared at the words, my mind racing. Victoria? One of Damien's enemies? It didn't matter. A threat is a threat. And in my world, threats meant someone was about to die. I deleted the message and slipped out of bed, padding toward the massive windows that overlooked the city. The night air pressed against the glass, heavy with tension. I could feel it, the shift, the unspoken warning in the stillness of the penthouse. Something was coming, and if I didn't act first, it would be me who got buried. A dangerous confrontation. The next morning, I met Victoria face to face. Not by chance. Not in the shadows of a parking garage like before. This time, I went looking for her. Her world was carefully curated. Charity events, high-profile galas, elegant luncheons with the wives of billionaires. But I wasn't playing by her rules. I found her where she didn't belong. A quiet coffee shop on the east side of town, far from the glittering high-rise world she usually inhabited. She was waiting for me. Composed. Unbothered. She had known I would come. I slid into the chair across from her, crossing one leg over the other, my lips curving into the same kind of smile I had used on her husband. You sent the message, I murmured, voice soft but firm. She sipped her coffee unhurried, before setting the cup down with a quiet clink. If I wanted to warn you, sweetheart, I wouldn't have been so subtle. I raised an eyebrow. Then who? Her smile widened, slow knowing. You think Damien doesn't have enemies? She exhaled. You're so focused on me, you forgot to look at the bigger picture. My fingers curled against the tabletop. You're saying someone else is watching. She tilted her head. I'm saying you're standing on a chessboard thinking you're the queen. But you don't even realize there's another player already moving their pieces. Something inside me twisted. Because I knew she was right. But I couldn't let her see that. I leaned in, lowering my voice to a whisper. Does Damien know you're meeting with me? Her expression didn't change. Not yet. Then what do you want? For the first time, I saw the truth in her eyes. Not anger, not jealousy, not the fury of a betrayed wife. Amusement. I want to see how this ends. A setup in motion. Damien was already unraveling, and I wasn't the only one pulling the strings. When I got back to the penthouse later that evening, the tension was suffocating. Damien stood near the bar, drink in hand, his tie loosened, his brow furrowed in deep thought. You're late, he muttered. I dropped my bag on the counter. Didn't realize I was on a schedule. His jaw ticked. He downed his drink in one gulp, then slammed the glass on the counter hard enough to make me pause. Something was wrong. Damien. I took a step closer. What happened? He exhaled sharply, rubbing his temple. Victoria knows. The words were razor sharp, slicing through the air between us. I tilted my head. And? His eyes snapped to mine. And she's not going to just sit back and watch this happen. I studied him, measured him. You're afraid of your own wife? His laugh was humorless. You don't know Victoria. I smirked. Actually, I do. That made him pause. Just for a moment. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I stepped closer, running my fingers down his chest. It means I met with her today. The shift in his expression was immediate. Shock. Fury. Suspicion. You what? I pressed my palm against his heart. Relax. She didn't tell me anything I didn't already suspect. His pulse was racing beneath my touch. You played with fire, Damien, I whispered, tilting my chin to meet his gaze. And now you're about to get burned. His hands gripped my waist, tight, possessive. She won't ruin me. I smiled, slow, seductive. Then you better be ready to take her off the board before she takes you off it first. The first strike. That night, Damien made a decision. Not to leave me. Not to run. But to fight back. And Victoria? She had already anticipated his move. I woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of my phone buzzing against the nightstand. Blocked number. Again. This time I answered. Silence. Then. Your time is running out. The line went dead. I sat up, my heart pounding, the weight of what I had gotten myself into finally pressing down on me. Damien wasn't the only threat. Victoria wasn't the only enemy. And if I didn't figure out who was really pulling the strings, I wasn't just going to lose the game. I was going to lose everything. Chapter 5, The Setup. Power shifts in silence. It doesn't announce itself with fireworks or grand declarations. It creeps, a slow, insidious thing that wraps around you before you even realize you're being strangled. I should have known. I should have seen the cracks forming before they split open beneath my feet. But I had been too focused on winning, too drunk on my own confidence, too convinced that I was still the one in control. By the time I understood what was happening, it was already too late. A trap laid in gold. I woke up in Damien's penthouse, the scent of scotch and expensive cologne lingering in the sheets. The morning light streamed in through the vast windows, painting the room in a soft, deceptive glow. Everything looked perfect. But I could feel it, that subtle shift, that quiet tension in the air. Something was wrong. Damien was already up, standing by the window, a cigarette between his fingers. He rarely smoked. Only when he was stressed. Angry. Or trapped. I pushed the sheets aside, stretching lazily. You look like a man who just realized he fucked up. He didn't turn to face me. Victoria made her move. I sat up, tilting my head. And? His jaw clenched. She froze my accounts. The words landed like a gunshot. I blinked, sitting up fully. She what? His exhale was sharp, his fingers tightening around the cigarette. Everything. Gone. Locked behind legal bullshit. She knew exactly where to hit me. He turned, his eyes dark, burning. And you, his voice dropped low, dangerous. You met with her. I didn't flinch. You think I helped her? His silence was an answer. I slid out of bed, taking my time, letting the silk of my robe whisper against my skin as I crossed the room. If I wanted to screw you over, Damien, I wouldn't need Victoria's help. I ran my fingers lightly over his tie, smoothing it. I would have already been gone. With all your money. His hand shot out, grabbing my wrist hard. You think this is a game? I smiled, slow, deliberate. It always was. For a moment, neither of us moved. The city stretched out behind him, glittering and untouchable. But inside this room? Inside this moment? We were at war. He exhaled sharply, letting me go. We need to fix this. I leaned against the window, watching him. Then tell me everything. His fingers raked through his hair. Victoria had private investigators tracking me. She had her lawyers set up contingencies. If I was caught cheating, she could seize my assets under our prenup. I arched a brow. And you didn't think to cover your tracks better? His eyes flashed with warning. She set me up. I tilted my head. Or maybe you just underestimated her. His jaw clenched, but he didn't argue. Because he knew I was right. For the first time since I had stepped into his life, Damien wasn't in control anymore. And that made him dangerous. A meeting with the devil. Damien wasn't the only one playing desperate. Victoria was too. The invitation came that afternoon. An anonymous note slipped under my apartment door. Penthouse bar. 7 p.m. Don't keep me waiting. I recognized the handwriting. Victoria. She wanted another meeting. But this time? She was the one calling me in. I arrived at the bar before she did. Ordered a drink, let my gaze drift over the people swirling around me. Money, power, desperation hidden behind designer suits and red lipstick. And then she walked in. Victoria Cross knew how to command a room. She didn't need to be loud. She didn't need to wear something revealing. She was power wrapped in silk, a woman who had built her kingdom through control, strategy, and ruthless calculation. She slid into the seat across from me, crossing her legs. "You took your time." I smirked. "You're not the only one who likes to keep people waiting." She signaled to the bartender, ordering something neat and expensive before turning back to me. "You should leave him." I laughed, shaking my head. "You already took his money. What else do you want?" Her gaze sharpened. "I want you out of the way before this turns into something worse." I leaned in, my voice dropping. "If I walk away now, Damien loses everything. You know that, right?" She didn't blink. "That's not my problem." I studied her, my mind working. She wasn't just cutting Damien off, she was bleeding him out. Which meant, "You're setting him up for something bigger," I murmured, realization clicking into place. "This isn't about punishing him. This is about destroying him." Her lips curved. She didn't deny it. "Damien has enemies," she said simply. "Men who wouldn't hesitate to take everything he has left. If you stay, you'll burn with him." I swirled the ice in my glass. "Maybe I like playing with fire." Victoria exhaled, setting down her drink. "Then you deserve what's coming." She stood, smoothing out her dress. "Enjoy your drink, sweetheart. It might be your last." And just like that, she was gone. The unraveling. By the time I returned to Damien's penthouse, the walls were already closing in. The doors were locked. The lights dimmed just enough to cast long, eerie shadows. And Damien? He was waiting for me. Not alone. Two men stood near the fireplace, suits crisp, faces unreadable. But the way they held themselves, the way their hands hovered near their waistbands? They were armed. I stilled, my pulse thudding against my ribs. Damien exhaled slow. "You shouldn't have met with her." I forced a smirk. "Jealous?" He didn't laugh. "They want proof that you're loyal." I arched a brow. "And who exactly is they?" One of the men stepped forward, tilting his head. "You've been playing games, sweetheart." "But the problem with games?" He smiled. "Cold. Cruel. Someone always loses." My blood ran cold. Damien's gaze met mine. There was something in his eyes, regret, guilt. But not enough to save me. This wasn't about Victoria anymore. This was about money, power, and the men Damien owed his soul to. And now, I was the collateral. Before I could move, before I could even breathe, something hard slammed against the back of my head. The last thing I heard was Damien's voice. "I'm sorry." And then, darkness. Chapter 6, A Thief's Justice. Darkness was heavy. Suffocating. It clung to me like a second skin, pressing down on my chest, filling my lungs with something thick, something impossible to breathe through. Pain throbbed through my skull, a sharp, unforgiving reminder that I had been hit. Hard. I wasn't sure how long I had been unconscious, but when I finally came to, my wrists burned. Cold metal. Handcuffs. Fuck. I blinked, forcing my eyes to adjust to the dim light. The room was unfamiliar, bare concrete walls, a single overhead bulb casting eerie shadows along the floor. The air was damp, thick with the scent of cigarettes, sweat, and something metallic. Blood. Not mine. At least, not yet. A slow, dragging scrape of a chair against concrete sent a shiver down my spine. I turned my head, the movement making my vision blur for a second before sharpening. Damien. He sat across from me, elbows on his knees, eyes dark and unreadable. His suit jacket was gone, sleeves rolled up, tie loosened. He looked like a man at war with himself. But not enough to save me. "You're awake." His voice was hoarse, like he had been smoking, drinking, thinking too much. I tested the cuffs, ignoring the way the metal bit into my skin. "Well, I'd hate to miss the fun." His jaw clenched. He leaned back slightly, running a hand down his face. "You really don't know when to shut up, do you?" I smiled. "Sharp. Dangerous. You knew that when you fucked me, Damien." A flicker of something flashed in his eyes. "Guilt? Regret? Or just anger that I had played him so well? You shouldn't have met with Victoria." I exhaled slowly, shaking my head. "You're really going to sit there and pretend like this is about your wife?" His gaze flickered to the men standing behind him. Two. Maybe three. Their faces were stone unreadable, but I could see it in their eyes. They weren't here to play games. They were here to decide if I lived or died. I lifted my chin, letting my smirk widen. "So, are we pretending now, Damien? Because I thought you were a man who faced his problems head on." He exhaled sharply, dragging a hand through his hair. You don't understand the mess you're in. I laughed, leaning back against the chair. Oh, sweetheart. I understand just fine. The weight of a debt. The tallest of the men stepped forward. Italian suit, scars across his knuckles, a face that had seen war. This wasn't one of Damien's corporate henchmen. This was a fucking killer. He crouched in front of me, tilting his head like he was inspecting prey. You've got a sharp tongue, he murmured. I like that. I smirked. Then uncuff me, and I'll show you what else it can do. A slow, amused chuckle left his lips, but his eyes? Cold. Dead. Damien, he said, glancing over his shoulder. You want to explain to your little distraction what's happening here? Damien exhaled. Pinching the bridge of his nose like this was giving him a headache. She doesn't need to know, he muttered. The man scoffed. Oh, but I think she does. See, sweetheart, your boyfriend here owes money. A lot of it. And when people owe money to men like us. He smiled, but it wasn't warm. It was the smile of a man who had slit throats for less. They pay up. One way or another. I felt it then. The way everything clicked into place. This wasn't just about Victoria. This was about money. Power. Debt. And now, I was collateral. No room for weakness. I turned my gaze back to Damien, studying him. He looked wrecked, exhausted, wired, caught between loyalty and survival. I knew that look. It was the look of a man about to make the wrong choice. You set me up, I murmured, my voice soft, steady. He didn't answer. The silence was worse than a confession. I let out a low laugh, shaking my head. Wow. And here I thought you liked me. The man in front of me chuckled, standing slowly. Oh, I'm sure he did. But see, that's the problem. Weak men always like pretty things. He turned back to Damien. You hesitated, cross. That's a problem. Damien's jaw tightened. I didn't hesitate. The man smiled. Then prove it. Damien's fingers curled into fists. I saw it then, the moment he realized what this was. A fucking test. He wasn't just proving his loyalty to them. He was proving he could be cold enough to cut me loose. To kill me if necessary. I held his gaze, forcing him to see me, to remember everything we had done together. Every secret he had spilled between tangled sheets and whiskey-drenched confessions. Damien, I murmured, tilting my head. Are you really going to let them do this? He exhaled sharply, looking away. And in that moment I knew. I was on my own. A predator trapped in a cage. The man behind me shifted, reaching for something, a knife? A gun. It didn't matter. I moved first. I twisted my wrists, wrenching the cuffs just enough to loosen them. The metal bit into my skin, tore into flesh, but pain didn't matter. Survival did. The moment he leaned in, I lashed out, slamming my forehead into his nose, sending a spray of blood across the floor. Chaos erupted. Damien shouted my name, but I didn't stop to listen. The second man lunged, I kicked out, my heel slamming into his knee. A sickening pop. A scream. I spun, adrenaline roaring through me, my vision sharp. Damien moved, reaching for me. I grabbed the knife from the first man's belt, flipping it in my grip. You should have picked me over them, I whispered. And then I plunged the blade into his side. The turning point. His gasp was sharp, his body jerking against mine. His fingers dug into my arms, eyes wide, stunned. You, his voice broke, filled with something between pain and betrayal. I smiled. Guess I'm not as weak as you thought. I yanked the knife free, warm blood spilling over my fingers, and stepped back as he collapsed to his knees. The room erupted into chaos, men scrambling, shouting. But I didn't wait to see what happened next. I ran, through the doors, down the hall, my heart pounding so hard I could feel it in my throat. I didn't look back. Because if I did, I might see the moment Damien bled out on the floor. And that would mean I had finally won. But the thing about power? It doesn't just shift. It destroys. And this game? It wasn't over yet. Chapter 7, The Perfect Ending. Blood. It was everywhere. Thick, wet, staining my hands, soaking into my dress. I could smell it, sharp, metallic, mixing with the scent of sweat and expensive cologne. Damien's blood. I didn't stay to watch him die. That would have been a mistake. Instead, I ran, barefoot, heart pounding, my breath sharp and ragged as I tore through the dimly lit corridors, past the bodies of men who had come here thinking they controlled the game. They didn't. Because the truth? I had never stopped being the one in control. The chase begins. The city was alive outside, buzzing with lights and sound, oblivious to the war I had just left behind. I stumbled out onto the streets, wiping at my hands, smearing crimson across my skin. I needed to disappear. Fast. I had planned for this. Of course I had. Men like Damien never lived without enemies, and I wasn't naive enough to believe I could walk away from him without burning bridges behind me. But what I hadn't planned for. Victoria. I barely made it half a block before the sleek black car pulled up beside me, the window rolling down just enough to reveal her. Perfect. Poised. Dressed in black, her lips painted the exact shade of red as the blood still drying on my hands. You look like hell, she murmured. I laughed, breathless, running a shaking hand through my hair. And you look like a woman who just won. She tilted her head slightly, studying me. Did I? My smile faded, because I knew. This wasn't over. Not yet. A deal with the devil. Victoria took me to a penthouse, not hers, not Damien's. Somewhere neutral. Somewhere safe. Or maybe, somewhere I would never leave if I gave the wrong answers. I let her pour me a drink, watched as she moved through the space, calm, calculated. She didn't look like a woman who had just orchestrated the downfall of her own husband. She looked like a woman who was just getting started. She handed me a glass. To surviving. I took it. To whatever the hell this is. A smirk tugged at her lips. You still don't trust me, do you? I exhaled. I don't trust anyone. She sipped her drink. Smart girl. Silence stretched between us, thick, suffocating. Then, what happens now? I asked. She set her glass down, crossing her legs. That depends. On. Her gaze sharpened. On whether you want to walk away from this. Or if you want to finish it. A slow, dangerous smile curled at the edges of my lips. Tell me more. The final betrayal. Damien wasn't dead. Yet. But he would be. Victoria had already set it in motion. You have two choices, she said, leaning back in her chair. You can disappear. New name. New life. Or. I arched a brow. Or. She smiled. You can help me finish this. My pulse thrummed. You want him dead. She took another sip of her drink, exhaling slowly. Of course I do. But not just yet. First, I want him to suffer. The way she said it, so casually, so effortlessly, it sent a shiver down my spine. Because I realized then, Victoria wasn't just ruthless. She was merciless. A perfectly orchestrated ending. We waited. Days passed. I laid low. Watched as the news broke, Damien Cross, disgraced billionaire, caught in a spiral of scandal, betrayal, and criminal investigation. Victoria had been busy. Every secret he thought he had buried, she dug them up. Every piece of leverage he thought made him untouchable, she shattered it. And me? I watched from the sidelines, unseen, undetected. Until the night I got the call. Victoria. Come to the docks. Midnight. Bring a coat. She didn't need to say anything else. I already knew how this was going to end. A death in the dark. The docks were quiet. Too quiet. The air was thick with the scent of salt and gasoline, the water black as ink beneath the moonlight. Victoria stood near the edge, her coat draped over her shoulders, the breeze pulling at her hair. Beside her, two men. And Damien, barely standing. His face was bruised, blood seeping from the corner of his mouth. His wrists were bound, his suit torn. He looked up when he heard me approach, his eyes dark, burning with something I couldn't quite place. Regret? Hatred? Or just the realization that this was the end? Victoria turned slightly, her expression unreadable. Took you long enough. I ignored her, stepping closer to Damien. You don't look so good, sweetheart. He exhaled sharply, shaking his head. You really went through with this. I tilted my head. What, did you think I was going to run? His laugh was hoarse, broken. No, I just thought you'd let me suffer longer. I met his gaze. Held it. That's not my style. Victoria sighed, glancing at her watch. Much as I love the tension, we have places to be. One of her men stepped forward, grabbing Damien by the arm. He didn't fight. He knew there was no way out of this. I stepped beside Victoria as they dragged him toward the edge of the dock. He turned one last time, his gaze locking onto mine. You played the game well, he murmured. I smiled. Slow. Cold. I always do. Then the gun clicked. And Damien Cross fell into the water. The aftermath. I stood there, watching the ripples spread, waiting for something, a gasp, a struggle, a hand breaking the surface. But there was nothing. Just stillness. Victoria exhaled, adjusting her coat. Well, that was satisfying. I turned to her. You sure he's dead? She smirked. Does it matter? I studied her for a long moment. Then I smiled. No. I suppose it doesn't. A new beginning. We left the docks without another word. By the time the sun rose, Damien Cross was nothing more than a whisper. And me? I was free. Victoria had power. I had money. And the best part? I had won. I took a deep breath, stepping into the waiting car, watching the city blur past the windows. A new game would begin soon. But for now, I would enjoy the silence. Because for the first time in a long time, I didn't have to run.